This is an episode for the QED Changemaker series. I'm your host, Ryan Lim, Principal Consultant at QED Consulting. Our guest in this episode is the Chief Customer and Digital Officer of AIA Singapore. She's responsible for strengthening the customer, brand, health and wellness propositions, advancing the enterprise-wide analytics capabilities, and accelerating the delivery of an integrated digital experience. Prior to her current role, she also served as the Chief Operations Officer of AIA Singapore. Under her leadership, AIA received multiple industry accolades in digital, healthcare, and customer service excellence. This inspiring leader has also served as the key regulatory liaison officer to the Monetary Authority of Singapore, MAS, Central Provident Fund Board, CPFB, and Life Insurance Association in Singapore, LIA. Let's welcome Melita Teo to the QED Changemaker Series podcast. Hi, Melita. Great to have you with us today.
Hey, hi, Ryan. Thanks for having me on this Changemaker Series. I'm very humbled to be part of this.
How was your start to 2021?
Oh, my start has been busy. It took a few days off at the end of the year, but it was so much work-life integration, right? But did a bit of hiking, which was good. Everything back to a hectic pace despite just being the first week of the year, but very excited about how 2021 will unfold for all of us.
Well, it's great to hear that you already are all reset and ready to go for 2021. Optimistically hopeful too, yeah?
Yes.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what you do on a day-to-day basis. You seem very busy already at the beginning of the year. So.
Actually, this customer and digital role is a new role that was created about 6 months ago to encapsulate the focus that we have at AIA Singapore to integrate both the customer and digital focuses, particularly because at AIA, we are a very human and customer-centric business. We have also benefited from our earlier transformation or earlier work in digital. And with COVID-19, it has really accelerated the digital savviness of all of our customers and the expectations as well. So the role was created to really join forces into one portfolio to accelerate AIA Singapore's progress in this front. And this is on top of the usual responsibilities of a marketing officer as well, which is product development, brand, and also health and wellness, or the work that we want to do at AIA for the customer, embedding digital health and wellness.
So this seems to be like an acceleration of your plans into that whole digital future.
Yeah, it is actually. You're very right. For us, we started on a digital journey about 3 years ago. And I would say that at that time, when we first started thinking about how the roadmap should look like, it was very much to complement the usual channels of engagement and sales. So for lack of a better word, it was a nice to have type of capabilities. But digital is now a necessity. And I think that's not just for us at AIA, but I think it's also a very evident all around the world as well. And I think it really speaks to the need to do further digital acceleration in all aspects of our touch points and the way that we operate. I give you an example. When we first do certain business cases, we always have multi-year adoption rate of customers using the tools or even distribution and agents using these new modes of working. With COVID-19, in quite a few actual use cases, we have accelerated digital adoption by 3 years. I'm extremely proud of the way people are so receptive to the things that we have introduced to our digital ways of serving them and engaging them.
You mentioned one of those very interesting parts where everything is accelerated, and not only just accelerated, right, compressed. We used to have like 5-year plan, 10-year plans. And then right now, right, 5-day plan already, well, we start to worry whether is there going to be any changes in the 5 days ahead. If I were to ask you to help us distill this a little bit, and maybe if you can tell us 3 or 5 points as to what are the key things that has changed before and after the pandemic as well.
I use a very real example. So in the world of insurance, we take our human interactions very seriously because we are planning for the customers, with the customers financially and also for their health as well. And most of these interactions pre-pandemic were actually done face-to-face. even though at that time we already have digital tools to help with providing advice and also completing the application forms and financial health check, for instance. Obviously, during circuit breaker, no one could see anyone, but there has always been need and even an increased need for customers to have coverage, particularly during pandemic. So what we did as a team was quickly come together and develop a non-face-to-face sales solution. This meant that the agent could still contact the customer via Microsoft Teams or via Zoom, have that conversation virtually to talk about coverage and advice, and that whole application is completed electronically. A SMS is sent to the customer to review, and then the customer signs digitally on the mobile. So it was incredible. I mean, in a normal time, to do a technology innovation like this would take like months at least, okay? But during the pandemic, when there are real business and customer issues and challenges that we had to face so urgently, the team really got together so fast. And it was in a matter of like 2-3 weeks that the solution was designed and the solution was implemented. And I could say that even the distribution, the agents, didn't need that much persuasion. There was even an agent who was able to close 80 cases within the first month of our non-face-to-face solution. And I think it was great because there we have customers who need all of this valuable insurance protection. And we had the means to be able to get it to them and get them covered. And it was done non-face-to-face. So that in itself was one very useful use case. And I would say that even now, as social distancing have eased, and we actually did a survey with our customers and our distribution as well, and we still have statistics telling us that 3 out of 4 of our agents and our customers still would prefer the non-face-to-face mode because it gives them so much convenience and also higher productivity. So it's very, very encouraging. That's one very specific example. The second example that we have is with regards to servicing of our customers. You know, as with insurance, claims and policy servicing are very essential customer journeys, and because our plans are such that we cover the entire lifetime of the customers, there are always a lot of transactions in a customer's lifetime. So before the pandemic, a lot of the service requests like change of address, payments, even claims, they are done with a very human element. Forms are signed and then people mail it in, or they do it with some help of their agents. But what we found with the pandemic was we were able to step up the adoption and the utilization of all of this electronic and digital modes of submission. During the pandemic, we actually saw an increase in the service levels that we have provided our customers, because they were able to get things into us digitally, and with all of the built-in checks and straight-through processing, a lot of the transactions were able to be completed much faster than pre-pandemic. So we were actually, you know, very, very pleased that despite perceived inconvenience of a circuit breaker or with social distancing, we were able to provide the same or in some instances better service to our customers. We hope that that would have given them some level of comfort despite the very difficult pandemic period that all of us have to go through.
Well, what you've mentioned is that actually very drastic changes in, I think, behaviors as well, right? Not just like small little steps or incremental, they are quite huge ones. So based on your view and maybe from your point of view as well, whether these changes are actually temporary or they are they more permanent from what you see?
Well, I really think that with this new change of convenience via the digital way and increased in productivity for everyone, it's definitely here to stay. And I do think that it's gonna be accelerated in terms of these sort of new ways of working, embedding digital means. I think it's gonna be very exciting for all of us as customers of what we can expect of providers, and also for providers like us to want to do even more for our customers so that we can continuously exceed their expectations, set new standards for everyone. I think it's very exciting.
Right. I mean, what happened to all those original resistance that was felt pre-pandemic? I mean, they were there. Have they evaporated, or are they just maybe taken a back seat and they'll come back when things go back to normal?
I wonder too, but I feel that the change for us during the pandemic was so drastic and a step that was made that I truly think that there was no going back to how life was before. Or rather, everyone is open to such level of convenience and digitization for which they themselves benefited, our customers benefited, our agents benefited. And even if there are small little inkling of wanting to revert to the old ways, they will soon be persuaded by the larger population of people who expect more from digital and a better quality of life, really. So I think the only way forward for all of us is really more digitization, more conveniences, and a higher integration of such digital platforms that will make their lives simpler, but more meaningful.
But based on these kind of changes, right, do you think that this is, I mean, AIA is a global company. And based on your conversations with your other counterparts in other countries, do you think that what you're seeing in this kind of changes in human behavior, is it just specific to a market, country, or is it worldwide based on that?
AIA as a group, we operate in 18 countries. And so we do share quite a lot between the different countries in terms of our progress. And this is really to help one another progress faster and better. And as a group, we have stepped up focus on TDA. TDA equals technology, digital and analytics. And we really have very big plans underway to upgrade all of our technology platforms to increase digital adoption of our digital tools so that we can deliver higher levels of user satisfaction. And really taken together with a wider use of digital, or rather data analytics, and a very thought out customer journeys, we really as a group want to focus on transforming the experience for our customers and all of our partners. And we are a big player in most of the markets. And I would say that it is not unique to insurance, but certainly as AIA as a group, we want to have very clear way forward in terms of being able to drive new digital modes and customer centricity.
Well, from what you've just shared with us, right, it seems that AIA is actually a very innovative company. I mean, you've started so early in the digital journey. Would you describe AIA as an innovative culture or innovative company?
I would say that we are first and foremost a very customer-centric company, but we have a very keen appetite for innovation. And the way we want to do innovation is really for the sake of delivering better experiences for our customers. And of course, that should then subsequently translate to stronger business growth as well. So we don't innovate for the sake of innovation, but we innovate with a clear purpose of providing a better experience for our customers.
Yeah. Could you then share a little bit about your innovation? Are we talking about just like product innovation, or are we talking about business innovation where it affects your mode of working, your processes, your business models kind of thing? Which level are you at when it comes to innovation?
I would say that we have big projects for which we want to introduce new digital platforms. We have innovations or projects that we also want to do to improve customer journeys. But in my mind, I feel that the word innovation does not and should not be limited to big things. Innovation can happen in small things as well. And to me, that is innovation. It's about trying earnestly to solve a real customer or business pain point and trying to do that in a sustainable fashion. I'll give you a few examples if you allow me. We talk about product innovation, and product is important because it's a way of providing the right coverage to our customers in whatever need that they have. So one of the product innovation that we had was the AIA Beyond Critical Care. And that was actually launched about maybe 2 years ago. And it was the first plan to cover mental health. And at that time, I think mental health was slightly increasing in terms of awareness. But I think during this time of COVID-19, it really raised awareness of mental health. And we are thankful that, you know, we do have this product that is in the market at that time was very new, so maybe it was innovative, but it serves to solve a real problem or a real statement. So this is something that we have on the product front as an innovation. I mentioned earlier about the non-face-to-face sales solution that we have, and that in itself was also thought out of how we can really help our customers get coverage during particularly the social distancing period. And it has in our minds that particular idea had to be an end-to-end process for the customer. No form signed, you know, manually, or no emails here and there. It has to be seamless. So to us, innovation is also about being thorough and being holistic and being sustainable. What I find about innovation and the opportunity to innovate is that COVID-19, it came so sudden, and the impact and implications of which were multiple folds. It really required teams of people to come together very quickly to solve these problem statements very urgently and in record time. I think that in itself, as a spirit of innovation, is really quite exciting. And I really hope that, you know, now that we have seen how innovation can be accelerated, I hope that post a pandemic, we can continue to do that.
So maybe on this note as well, what should be the balance between innovation versus business as usual? I mean, there's always that challenge where you are saying, hey, I'm trying to protect my existing business versus let's innovate something completely new that we've not seen before. So what's that balancing act, and how do we go about this balancing act from your perspective?
We always have this theory that we are wanting to change the car engine while the car is running. And I think it takes planning of what pain point, what is it that we want to solve for. I think having clarity about which problem statements we want to solve as a priority, and having a well thought out plan of how to execute that is important. But there also needs to be some level of flexibility to adjust with the times. COVID-19 came like that, and it really disrupted a lot of things. But can the disruption be positive, or do we let it be negative? I think it really comes down to the people involved in that change and how they direct the teams under them to focus on what is material. Blocking out some of the noises sometimes and focus on delivering the intended outcomes. Tenacity to some extent, yeah.
Of course, I mean, you mentioned something about the noise part, right? Which is usually the resistance and the challenges to innovation. So what are the usual ones that we will normally face?
Do we need this now?
The familiar is better, right?
Yeah, what sort of returns do you get? How measurable are those returns? I think these are very real concerns. As with projects and projects, there can always be a lot of enhancements that needs to be done. In terms of concerns or risks as well, there will always be a lot of risks. It's about striking the right balance of putting the focus on solving what are the critical business or customer pain points, and having a very clear and a resilient approach to that. Once that's clear, then the noises in itself sometimes will linger, but the results will then prove otherwise.
I mean, we've heard a lot of very interesting cases, and one of them was like they were asking for case studies for innovation and say, look, innovation is supposed to be futuristic. How do we get a case study about the future?
Yeah, that's right.
So do you happen to have any like wish list for the Singapore government as well? I mean, if you look at it, I think the Singapore government here in our market actually plays a very big role as part of the ecosystem. They are part of it, they're not away from it. What do you think about them? Is there anything else that they can play a part of as part of the ecosystem player for business innovation?
I have to say that I'm extremely thankful for our Singapore government and their very clear-minded approach towards digitization for the entire nation. I would say that how AIA has been able to deal with COVID-19, despite the sudden disruption, AIA was able to, in some instances, better our services for our customers, has a lot to thank for to the Singapore government. We were one of the earlier adopters of SingPass Mobile, and MyInfo, and also PayNow. These were nice to have aspects at that time, But when COVID-19 came, these became very critical enablers for us. We got rid of checks. We don't cut checks anymore because we had no one to come in to sort out the checks, right? So we used PayNow disbursement. You know, we stepped up on that development. We accelerated the usage and we paid people like in double fast time, which was incredible. My info adoption also was accelerated by 3 years. And even premium collections as well, our cashiers were closed. And the only means of paying premiums were via the digital modes. And PayNow was one of the more popular modes for us in terms of how people paid premiums to us. Extremely thankful for all of these initiatives. And I'm also very excited to hear about the SG FinDex initiative, which will encompass insurance in the near future. And I do feel that giving our customers the ability to have a single view of all of their financial holdings and protection holdings will help companies like us to be able to provide them with a more thorough and holistic financial planning so that they can minimize their protection gap.
So it seems like when the government starts to invest in all these emerging technologies so that it sets the stage for the innovation to happen, I think that's what they're good at and they should continue doing, right?
Yes, yes. I really, you know, I'm always very excited about the GovTech and the government initiatives. And I really do hope to see more of this. And AIA would also like to do our part to support the government in their initiatives.
Fantastic. Okay, maybe I can get up close and personal with you, okay? I want to ask you, what's your personal leadership style like?
I like to interact with my teams. I like to see them grow. I think I like to focus on what their strengths are, put them in the right places, and help them to grow both professionally and personally. I think if after the time that I spend with them, they mature as individuals, both professionally and personally, I feel that I've done something right by them. I enjoy debating with my teams. I encourage receptivity of them.
But do you always win the debates?
No, I don't. I think it takes effort and time to build the trust for them to share openly their concerns about certain issues, and it's also my responsibility to hear them. But I don't always win the debate, which is fine because I'm also just human being. I don't know everything, and that's why we work in teams. And I think the ability to lead is a privilege, and it's something that I enjoy. It's something that I learn from as well, to get into discussions, to be able to lead our people into uncharted waters and do things differently. And if they come out more successful and better than they were before, I feel very happy about that.
What kind of advice do you have for people, especially in charting or moving ahead in unknown territory, like what we are or most of us are right now? I mean, from your perspective as a leader and a very successful one at AIA, what kind of advice do you have for people, especially when we are trying to chart into unknown territories like this?
I think that having the courage to acknowledge vulnerabilities and having the receptivity to new ideas, I think these are critical in terms of moving forward as individuals and as a company. The world is changing so fast, and the way we have to keep up is to keep an open mind about things and have the courage to call out where issues are, acknowledge what sort of problems we have, quickly get together and have some clarity about issues and the way forward, and then have a very focused approach on tackling them. And I think as projects or as teams get into a momentum, that positive vibe will continue to rub off, you know, one another. Very exciting, and I feel that that's how we can all keep up as individuals and as businesses as well. Keep an open mind and keep positive, yes.
Okay, so any parting thoughts for our listeners today?
I want to thank you, Ryan, for having me on this program. I've learned from hearing some of your podcasts as well, and I do hope that the listeners out there see innovation as, you know, the ability within all of our individual means to do even small things differently. It doesn't have to be big things. It just means take a small step, maybe one at a time, and things will evolve and things will be better.
Thank you, Melita, for sharing your candid views and valuable insights. I'm sure all our fellow industry leaders listening will benefit greatly from it. Thank you so much again.
Most of all, thank you, listeners, for tuning in to our QED Changemaker Series podcast. For more information on QED's leadership development solutions, email us at info@qed.sg. That's info@qed.sg. Do remember to subscribe to our channel and be updated on our latest episodes. I'm your host, Ryan Lim, and I look forward to having you in our next episode.